Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. I tell you what, the last 12 and a half, 13 hours has been crazy. I decided to go to bed early last night. I think it's the first time that I've done that in years. Just felt drained. Decided to chill, relax, and I realized that I missed a boatload of phone calls from people. But I got up early this morning. I was up at 6, meeting with my accountability partner, and then we had a friend of ours come in, and we just sat there and prayed together. And that's something that I just truly need. We got this weekend trip that we're going to be taking to as we go up and visit our granddaughter. And it's like, you know, this is just a great time. And it brought me to chapter 8 in John's book. And if you're reading John's book, everyone communicates, few connect. We're on chapter 8, connectors create an experience everyone enjoys. And it made me think about what we're going through with our granddaughter. You know, we go up and we see her custodian, Mrs. Betty Kane, who's doing such a phenomenal job at taking care of her. And we share time with her, and she shares with us the experience that she's had through the week with our grandbaby. And then we take that little precious thing, and we go out and we have shared experiences. Last weekend, we went to Palisade Park, and the kids were able to look at a lot of the Civil War history. And I'm, as you guys know, as a Southern heroes I have, and the fact that my family fought in the Civil War for the South, we have a great time going over that. And there was in this place where we were at, it was a beautiful historical place. There was a lot of old buildings and monuments and stuff. But one of the coolest things was the fact that this sets on a gigantic mountaintop up in Alabama, and Jetty and I got to watch these people rappelling up the sides of these rocks and these cliffs, and just had a wonderful time. At the time that, even though we were there to share it with Ashton, our grandbaby who just turned one, and she won't remember it, Jetty and Tessa and Cassie and Paige and us shared an experience. We will have a wonderful time. Well, as a communicator, you have to do this same thing. You have to connect with people. Listen to me, with people. This is important, and this is where most communicators go wrong. Guys, I don't care if you're a salesman. I don't care if you build a network marketing organization. I don't care what you call yourself. If you're not connecting with your audience, you're going to lose it. It won't work. And the fun thing is, maybe you've done some presentations. Maybe you've gone out there and you've tried to talk in public, and you just haven't connected. You know what? You can still learn how to do that. I was on the phone this week with some CEOs, and one of the CEOs is working himself up a new presentation for his field force. And one of the things that he keeps saying, and I scratch my head every time he says it, is that people have to go out there and hear the word no. They got to go out there, and they got to get their nose bloody. And I started thinking about that. And I said to myself, I know statistics state that you're going to hear a lot of no's in sales. But I thought, man, if people would learn to connect at a heart level with the people that they're talking to, if they build that rapport right up front, they may stop hearing the word no. They may just start hearing the word, well, I need to wait a little bit. Can you come back? And they can go ahead and set a new appointment. See, I think it's in on how what our outcome is that we're looking at. How do we want to approach this? If we're going in there with a negative mindset already, we're going in there with a scarcity mindset that people don't want what we have to offer, that people don't want to listen to what we have to say, that people really don't care who we are, then absolutely we're going to get a negative outcome. But if we go in there anticipating that we're going to add value to people's lives, if we go in there looking for common ground, if we go in there looking for a way to add value to somebody's life, business, person, it don't matter, the outcome will be different. But to do that, we have to learn how to communicate. We have to learn how to create shared experiences. And some of us have to learn how to be interesting. We have to learn how not to be monotone. How not to be boring, as we know some speakers can be. So take some notes today. Write this down. John's done a phenomenal job at putting this in an order that makes sense. He says, number one, take responsibility for your listeners. He writes in here, and I love this. He says, in general, there are no bad audiences, only bad speakers. If an audience is asleep, somebody needs to go on stage and wake up the speaker. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, man, isn't that true? It's you that have to take responsibility. It's me that has to take responsibility. If we as speakers, if we as communicators, if we as leaders stop passing the buck and take responsibility for what's coming out of our mouth and how we communicate and how we can be interesting and how we can get the audiences or the one-on-one person engaged, the sky's the limit. John mentions a book in here by Brent Felsong called Executive Speeches. And it's funny because he says, one CEO says, the Constitution guarantees free speech, but it doesn't guarantee listeners. And I thought, man, it doesn't matter if it's a politician, a school teacher, a preacher, or a judge. When people are not engaged, they do not listen. So the first responsibility as a speaker, is somebody that's going to go out there and become an oracle, a communicator, you have to gain and keep the audience's attention. Whatever you do, I mean, think about this for a minute. Whatever your purpose is on that stage, whatever it is that you're going to be talking about, you need to make sure that you do it in a way that will add value to their lives, that it will get them engaged in the communication. It's that's just the way it is. And folks, there's no way around that. We have to all be this way. And one of the things that John says that you can do, and he uses it for his books, but I think this is true no matter what you do. Write yourself this little question, and this is what you should be asking every time you give a presentation, every time you give a speech, every time you're on a one-on-one communication. What would make me want to listen to this? What would make me want to read this? What would make me want to participate in this? The way you write that, the way you think about that, that's going to make the big difference. That's going to set you apart as a communicator. You know, it's one thing to do radio shows because there's never an interruption. You know who's on the switchboard. You know by going in and looking at the tracking how many people have listened worldwide. You know, on average, how many listeners you have, and you get excited about that. On video, because I do video, and we're launching this new website that's going to be a news talk TV radio website, you know, I actually see more comments. I see more feedback when we do video because people connect better that way. They see my body language. They don't just hear the words or hear the tonality in my voice. They see my facial expression. When you're communicating with people on stage, it has to be the same way. The second thing that John talks about doing here, and I think this is phenomenal, if you really want to be able to not just communicate, but connect with people, you have to communicate in their world. I'm going to use life experience. My church that I go to is called Church for the Real World. You will not hear certain words in our church that make no sense. The people that have never been in church. Very seldom do you hear us talk about being saved. Very seldom do you hear us, I don't think you'll ever hear the word eschatology or apologetics come out of our mouth. We do talk about tithing and giving and stuff, but what we talk about, what really makes sense, are things that people can understand. Financial responsibility. We'll talk about that more than we do stewardship. You'll hear us talk about the keys and the principles of life. You hear us talk about the spiritual journey that people have to go on. You hear us talk about essentials, but we do it on their terms, not on our terms. Network marketers should learn how to do this because most people have no clue what an upline, downline, sideline, crossline, unilevel, matrix, binary, coding bonus. They don't know what all that stuff is. So why would we be talking to prospects about it? See, if you want to connect with people, you've got to get into their world. John writes this, if you want to get your message across, you have to learn how to communicate in someone else's world. Connecting with others requires this skill. Too often speakers are unwilling or unable to get out of their own world and say things from a perspective of their listeners. When that happens, not only is it unlikely that a connection will develop, it actually creates distance between the speaker and the listener. If you're in sales and you go in and you start talking about your services, your products, instead of talking about that person's business or that person's family, you're not going to make a sale. I'm going to tell you that right now. You've got to look at what the need is in that person's life. You've got to look at what they're passionate about. You've got to use the same techniques, the same passion, the same authenticity that would you do when you build relationships one-on-one, when you connect to people one-on-one. It's the only way to make this work. And sadly, I can't get people to understand that. And they go out and then they quit. They go out and then they quit. Or worse yet, the word duplication, and I'm gonna attack the network marketing arena again. They use the word duplication. Do as I do all the time. Just follow this script. Just follow these words. Just do this. And you know what? That will work for certain personality types. And they will do that, and then the next thing you know, out of 100 million people, you've got another successful person. Not quite like that, but you get the drift. But if you will take the time to communicate in their world, see, this is one of the things that I have frustrations with within the missionary community, because so many Western missionaries try to go into third world countries, try to go into South America, all these other places, and try to turn them to think and act like Westerners. You know, if you want to be passionate, if you want to connect, no matter what it is you're doing, then you have to communicate in their world. You have to be able to get them to listen. John writes this, and I think this is powerful. People don't remember what we think is important. They remember what they think is important. And when you take the time to get into their world, then you win. A lot of people say, well, Troy, I how do I know you know what you're talking about? I had a 98% success record when I was a bounty hunter. That was men and women. That was misdemeanors and murder won. And it's because we entered their world. I did not try to be some former Marine bounty hunter coming in like you see dog on TV. None of that. We dressed the part of their world. We acted like people in their world would act. We got onto their level. And then we won the trust of people. We were able to get inside the community and we were able to go and bring people out. And seeing how that worked from a manipulation standpoint, I was able to take that, tweak it out, learn from guys like John Maxwell and Tom Hopp, and realize if I want to be successful in the real world, then I needed to be transparent and authentic and enter into a person's world. So when I started my career at Primerica, what was known then as A.L. Williams, if I was talking to a businessman, I would wear Christian Dior. At that time, they made men's clothing, and from my shoes all the way up to my shirt and my tie and my cufflinks, it was all Christian Dior. I would look and walk the part, custom shirts, the whole kit and caboodle. If I was going out onto the countryside where I was dealing with a farmer, then I would wear the cowboy boots, the jeans, and a Western shirt, so that I would enter into their world, and I would learn about their operations. I would learn about their businesses. I would learn about their families. If I was going into one of my organization's prospects, then what I would do is I would start off asking them questions. A lot of times I would say to people, you know what, you may hear about our company. They call us termites because we're part-time guys and gals that sell only term insurance because we have found that that's what's best for Middle America. And as we would share with people, we brought them at ease. We met around their kitchen table 99% of the time. I didn't bring them to the office. I went to their place where they felt comfortable. We entered their world. The same thing rings true today if you want to connect with any company, with any person, in any situation, you have to enter their world. Number three, you have to capture the people's attention at the start. John is so good at this. better than I can ever be. He's mastered it. He is the creator. And within the very first moments when he walks onto a stage, he captures people's attention. I'm going to share with you how he does it, because I think this is phenomenal. First, he starts with a comment about the setting, the people, where they're at. Same thing we would do one-on-one. If I walked in and sat at a kitchen table with somebody, I would look around. I would have already have found something I could comment about. Boy, your kitchen looks beautiful. It reminds me of when I went to my grandma's. It was so relaxing and just so comfortable. Or boy, from the aroma tonight that I smell, you guys must have had a phenomenal dinner this evening. What did you guys have? You grab something, you kiss the setting. When you're in an audience, if you're sitting there and it's been hotter than blazes, then you know what you do? You mention that and you take off your tie if you have a tie on. I was in Idaho a few years ago, and as a boy coming from the beaches, I had to put shoes on, and it sucked because I was getting blisters on my feet. So when it was my turn to give my speech, I got up in front of the room, and I said, "Folks, I need your permission to do something, if that's okay." And, well, of course, everybody said, "Sure, what is it?" I said, "I would like to remove my shoes because I'm from the beach. And up here in Idaho, I know you guys wear shoes, but I'm not used to that, and it would be such a blessing. And I'd be able to deliver my training better if you just let me do that." And they all laughed and said, "Sure, take it off." And to this day, I have people that comment, and they'll on Facebook, they'll say, "Hey, can we be your friend? We were in that meeting where you took your shoes off and gave us that training." See, we got them in the right mood. The second thing is you introduce yourself. Every video that I do, "Hi, this is Troy Dooley from MLM Help Desk. Hi, this is Troy Dooley from That MLM Beat. Hi, this is Troy Dooley from Aces Radio Live. When I do this radio show, hi, this is Troy Dooley. Welcome to Radio for Your Mind." You want to introduce yourself. Now, John does it in a variety of ways, but here's what happens. More than likely, you're not the only person they've listened to that day. And if you introduce yourself, and then you right after that, you say this very important thing. "Hi, can you tell me what your name is again and let me spell it correctly? I want to make sure that I pronounce it right, especially if there's any weird names, because I screw that up all the time." You need to relax when you're speaking to people. John sits on a stool. Rick Warren sits in a chair. I like to pace around and have a stool that I can sit on, but I hate podiums and stuff like that. I'd rather have a small table because I'll lean against that table. See, everybody's a little different, but you want your audience to know that you're relaxed so they can be relaxed. I like to use a chair every now and then so I can lean forward and connect with my audience. John says, begin with humor. That's a great way to break the ice in any auditorium. I love that. It's also good when it's one-on-one, especially if it's the right humor in a business setting. So you can break the ice and really connect with the individual you're talking to if you use the right humor, if you've already entered into their world and you know what you're doing. Create a sense of anticipation. See, the one thing that I hate about presentations and sales is most of them don't have any anticipation at all. Matter of fact, as soon as you open your mouth, the prospect already knows how you're going to finish. You're going to be asking them for money. That plain and simple. You're not going to know if you can add value to their life or not. You're just going to add money. Now, I know there's some people that would disagree with me on this. What they would end up saying is, "Troy, I'm adding value to their life, and I show that to them over my 6.5-hour presentation." No. You want to add value to somebody's life? You add anticipation into it. You add anticipation into people's lives by asking questions. I can tell you that right now. John writes this, "As you communicate, you need to find your own style and experiment with techniques that suit you." And I'm a firm believer in that. If you cannot be authentic and transparent, if you cannot be you, that doesn't mean you might not take something from Troy or John Maxwell or Art Williams or Jim Collins or Seth Godin or a million other people out there. You may like some of their technique. It might work, and you might blend that in. But you have to be authentic. You have to be yourself if you're going to make this work. The fourth big thing that John talks about is activate your audience. Okay, this is huge. John says, "Whenever I speak, I look for signs of involvement from the people that I'm communicating with. I check to see if they're taking notes. I look to see if the people are displaying a listener's lean, you know, looking forward. Are people making eye contact? Are they nodding with approval and understanding? Are they shaking their head no? Am I getting an audible response from some of the things that I say? Are people laughing or applauding? See, these are signs that you have connected with your audience and that your audience is actively participating in what you're saying. This is so important. You see this a lot in churches where a pastor will say something. Actually, I should correct that. You see this in a lot of southern black churches. You see it in some northern churches. You see it in some charismatic churches. And you've got dead churches that don't communicate at all. But you'll hear somebody yell out, "Preach it," or "Amen, brother," or "Hallelujah." They're engaged. I've sat in audiences. I've sat in Catalyst Conference and seen the same thing happen. It's amazing when speakers and trainers engage. Best way to get them to engage, ask questions. John writes, whether you are communicating one-on-one or with a large audience, asking questions create a connection between you and your listeners that is vital to releasing energy and raising their interest levels. When you ask questions, it stimulates the mind. It's the greatest way. And if you ask the right questions, it's even better. See, just ask a question isn't going to work. But you ask the right question. You look at your audience and say, why are you here today? If you're on a one-on-one sales presentation and you sit down and you say, you know what? I'm glad to be here today. I'm here to serve you. You know why I'm here, because most people have already done a little bit of pre-setting up their deal. You say, I want to know how you think I can serve you best in the short time period that we have. I could go through my presentation, but what I'd like to know is what is really weighing on your mind. What is concerning you most about XYZ, whatever it is you're marketing? You will actively ask the question. They will get engaged. Then you will respond based on that. By the way, this is not anything you're going to learn from any other sales place out there. I tell you that right now. Nobody trains on this. John writes, I recommend that you try it, but always start with a big win. A question that will get lots of response, even a laugh of recognition. Now, he's talking about big audiences, but the same thing rings true one-on-one. When a person knows you're there to serve them, you're there to serve their needs, their wants, their desires, the sky is the limit. Listen, every guy on this phone should pay attention to what I'm saying. I've read so many books on marriage, on sexual relationships, everything I can as a husband, because I want to give the best to my wife. And the one thing that my wife has never complained at is that I've always put her needs, her wants, and her desires above my own, whether it's mentally, physically, or spiritually. The same thing rings true in personal relationships as it rings true in business. If you want to make the sale, if you want to add value to their lives, then you need to find out what their wants, their needs, and their desires are, and you need to make sure they know that you are there 100% to satisfy their needs, their wants, and their desires before you get to satisfy your pocketbook. It is that plain and simple. You've got to get people moving. If you're got this presentation and it's going to be a long presentation, you know, in about 10 or 15 minutes, you say, hey, you know what? Can I get you to get me a glass of water or something? I need to stretch, make them feel at home. But you want to keep people moving. If it's in an audience, about every 25, 30 minutes, unless you're given a teaching where people really do get engaged. That's the key. You got to keep people moving. The fifth thing that we want to look at. Oh, actually, one last thing on that last topic that we were looking at, which was activate, okay, is ask people to interact. You want to get people to talk to you. You want to get people to raise their hands. You want to get people to communicate. Anytime that they're active, they're not going to sleep. That's the big key there. Five, say it so it sticks. See, that's the way you've got to go. Listen to some of the people that have said one-liners that have lasted through history. Number one, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. Nathan Hale, I regret that I have but one life to give to my country. Abraham Lincoln, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Winston Churchill, who is my hero, and I think you guys will see this, any of you that have followed me. Winston Churchill wrote it like this, never, never, never give up. John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Martin Luther King, I have a dream. Ronald Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You want to say it with passion. You want to say it so it sticks. Art Williams said it this way, all you can do is all you can do, but all you can do is enough. Folks, when you're talking to people, you want it to stick. John writes this in his book. Listen to this. If you want people to remember what you say, you need to say the right thing at the right moment in the right way. It's that plain and simple. Here's some little tidbits that he gives. Link what you say with what people need. Nothing makes a speech more memorable than need. When Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up, people were facing the threat of the Nazi conquering all of Europe. When Martin Luther King told people at the Lincoln Memorial that he had a dream, they needed his inspiration to keep fighting for civil rights. No matter what it is, it's what they need. I wrote into my wife's life 23 years ago, at the right time, at the right place, and I told her the right thing. And I've been her knight on shining armor ever since, although that armor's gotten tattered and torn a few times. Right place, right time, doesn't matter what it is. Second thing that he talks about under that is find a way to be original. Folks, I'll guarantee you that. You need to make it your own. You need to be you. You need to come up with something. Probably a year ago, I had somebody say, Troy, when you talk about never, never, never giving up, it's a subliminal message that people have already given up or they're going to give up. And, you know, all this metaphysical crap I don't understand. But I scratched my head and thought, okay, if he's only 50% right, what else could I say? What could I do? And I feel like I just was inspired by the Holy Spirit in my life. But here's what happened. I changed never, never give up to say living an epic adventure. I believe I'm living an epic adventure every day, every time I get to do a radio show. And if you guys go out and you watch any of the great epic adventures, you watch Gone with the Wind, you watch Star Wars, I don't care what it is, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, all of these great, great movies. You watch Titanic, you watch Pearl Harbor, you watch Top Gun. Okay, you watch them all. You watch Dukes of Hazzard. All these epic adventures. Here's what you get. No matter if they're on the top of the mountain, no matter if they're in the valley, no matter if they're going over a waterfall, they're always living an epic adventure. They always have a villain. They always have a hero. They always have the plot line. They always have the romantic tug, the lust factor. You have all these emotions that we go through on a daily basis. Everybody goes through this. You got to be original. You got to live that. You got to do it. You want to use humor. Use some shocking statements and statistics. But folks, if you want to connect with people, if you want to create that experience with people, then what you have to do more than anything else is you have to be honest. You have to be sincere. You have to tug at the heart of those people. Everything starts in the heart and moves to the head. You grab the emotions. You show people that you care. You show people that you want to make a difference in their life, that you want to add value, that you want them to walk out of that 15, 30, 60, 90-minute time, whatever it is. If you put your heart and soul into whatever it is you're communicating, people will know that you are original. They will know that you are a connector, and you will become one of the few that communicate that know how to connect and make life change happen. Folks, be with us tomorrow on Radio for Your Mind. We're going to be in Chapter 9 connectors inspire people. Live life like it's an epic adventure. We will see you tomorrow. Radio for your mind.